Well, the election's over, and the world's worse. The anger, the lawlessness of man. I think everybody was hoping that we'd get through last Tuesday and things would get better and the world would shape up. And I listen to TV now, and I believe people are madder, and the comments are worse than they were before even. So, should tell us something. So today, I want to talk about, just touch on briefly, and we'll come back to it in the future more, but about the seven spirits of the Lord. We would like to think we are presenting wellness and health and nutrition and all those things, and you are presenting those things, but the reality is you're demonstrating these things that we're going to look at today, and through those things, wellness and health and all that is presented. So let me just read some of this to you, and I may comment a part of it along the way, and then we'll come back to it. Then a shoot will spring up from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. A shoot being a rod, or if you will, Jesse being the father of David, representing royalty and kingship. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, and the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Those are the seven spirits of the Lord, and we'll come back to that. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what he sees, nor make a decision by what he hears. But with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth, and he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. The standard, the rod, the shoot, becomes his word. The sword, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And with the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Also, righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. And the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and the calf with the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little boy will lead them. Now everything that we list there is in the natural. So we're talking about this time that we're in now. Everything, every aspect that he's describing is something in the natural, but it's functioning in an odd way. Also the cow and the bear will graze, and their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The nursing child will play with the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand in the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. Key words there, my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, to the degree as which the water cover the seas. Then in that day, the nations will resort to the root of Jesse, who will stand as a signal for all the people, and his resting place will be glorious. Everything that was described there was somewhat odd. A kid playing with a viper's den, a cow laying down, you know, with a lion. Everything that was described was a natural event that was occurring in a very odd way. As the mountain of the Lord that we've talked about comes up in the earth, the presence of the living God among us is going to cause everything to be upside down, everything to be backwards. Everything we know that Scripture says that our minds, that we must be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So everything that we have as a standard, or much of what we have as a standard, is going to get turned upside down. And you're going to see oddities like this, like a bear and a cow, and a lion and a lamb lying down together. Conflict on the mountain of the Lord, conflict will not exist. What we're seeing happening in the world is the chasm between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light get greater. We're seeing the difference between the mountain of the Lord and the world be separated. Remember, the purpose of the mountain of the Lord says that the world, that in the last days, the world will say, come let us go over there. Come let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and perhaps they'll teach us their ways. What we're seeing happening, and why God uses those terms, those natural terms in such an odd way, is to draw attention to the mountain of the Lord, so that the world will have a need for the things that we have. The one who has restrained lawlessness has been removed. And we're seeing this lawlessness go crazy. And fear is becoming the companion of many. Hate, anger, all types of wickedness. You know, we talked about in Romans how those progressions of things, when we no longer deemed it necessary to retain the knowledge of God, that all forms of wickedness would be released. We're seeing all those things happen, and the Lord is is allowing a clear distinction between the things of God and the things of the world. Now for you, in your piece of the mountain of the Lord, there's a portion of the mountain of the Lord that has been given to y'all to demonstrate that I say is the stewardship of the body, your body, but also the body, that the sound of God has come from heaven with. He has said, it's time that we begin to steward this body and our wellness in a manner that will cause it to serve us better. And y'all are a portion of that piece of the mountain that's going to do that. It's not just about wellness, but it's about stewardship, but it's also about the presentation of this thing we call the seven spirits of the Lord. The first of it, and this is referenced, there is a scene in Revelation 5, I believe, where it's talking about the seven candlesticks, and these seven spirits of the Lord appear before the living God Himself. The first one is the spirit of lordship. When he says the spirit of lordship, he's talking about that kingly rule. And he will be king of all kings and lord of all lords. A priesthood who acts kingly. Here's the advertisement for today. How many of y'all are watching The Crown? That Netflix series, The Crown, have any of y'all watched it? Y'all have heard me say this before. I made fun of my wife for years because she was so fascinated with the British monarch. And I repented to her the other day again, saying I really wished I had encouraged her to teach myself and my kids about this, because there's much about kingdom understanding that comes to there. But we started watching this. The Crown is a Netflix series that deals with the rise to the throne and, I guess, the reign of Queen Elizabeth. There's a lot of history and personal fal-de-ras in this thing, but in the midst of it, they speak of the sovereign. And when you think of the things that we've talked about, the way some of those people address, and when they're talking about the sovereign, they're talking about this crown. They're not even talking about a person, but they're talking about this crown that carries all this authority wherever it goes, and whoever's head it rests on, what it does. It's a very good, gives some very good understanding of the sovereignty, something that we as people growing up in a democracy do not understand. So I'd encourage you in your quest of understanding the things of God to at least give that thing a look and see if you don't see some unique understanding of sovereignty there. But this spirit of lordship is talking about a kingly priesthood who will rule not only as a standard, but also will rule in a manner that benefits all those they touch. What it is, that lordship is the lordship of Jesus Christ, both in how He governs us, governs and restrains my character, but also governs for my benefit in a royal manner, in a priestly manner. The second spirit is the spirit of wisdom. I don't know of anything of greater value that you can pray for than wisdom. Scripture says that because you believe, you will see. But because we see, we need to both understand and have wisdom. And so these two spirits, the spirit of understanding and the spirit of wisdom, become a huge asset for you. Sam has described righteousness as the going into the closet and bringing out the appropriate standard at the appropriate time for whatever circumstance you're in. Righteousness being the application of the appropriate standard in the appropriate time. What that means is every time it won't be done the same way. We have to do what God is doing in the moment. That's why Jesus never did anything the same way twice. The only way we know how to apply the standard is through wisdom and understanding. Not the wisdom of the world, but the wisdom of the kingdom. So I would encourage you to pray, Father, because I believe, I know I'm going to see, but because I see, let me understand and may I be granted wisdom concerning these circumstances. I'm talking about even when you see your patients. When you're talking to these families, and especially if you're trying to introduce discipline and peace and all of those things to their life, you need to understand what is the root issue that's really going on. It's not just that I don't feel good. There's something else going on under there. The spirit of counsel. Some of your patients are going to call and ask for your opinion. And some are going to call and they're going to receive your counsel. The difference in my understanding is this. If I want your opinion, that means I'm going to pick and choose whether or not I'm going to do it. If I want your counsel, it's as though the Lord is speaking through you and I will automatically obey it. But I have really, when people call and ask for an opinion now, I really don't give them. There's a select few people I will give my opinion to, but most people don't deserve to hear your opinion. If they want the counsel of the Lord, that's one thing. But your opinion is your opinion. And it should be hell for those who you're closest to. Otherwise, your representation of the Lord comes out in the spirit of counsel. The spirit of strength. We know that the Lord will never give us more than we can handle. But we do need this spirit of strength to stand in the face of the opposition that's coming. The opposition can't harm you any more than the Lord will allow him to. But I think we've probably heard most of you say this. Sometimes the situations you're having to deal with in these people's lives is nearly overwhelming. That when you go home, you're tired, you're burdened, if you will, by the things that you have to listen to, the circumstances of people. I walk by sometimes and I see those young people in despair in y'all's offices, and I know what a burden that is to you. The spirit of the strength of the Lord is what will carry you through that. You don't have enough strength in your own being to endure that thing. So you have to have this spirit of the strength of the Lord. The spirit of knowledge. As opposed to wisdom and understanding and counsel, knowledge is almost a worldly thing. It's what you're capable of learning as opposed to what is revealed, if you will. There are things about God that get revealed to you, and there are things about God that you learn or know. That would be the spirit of knowledge. Some of that comes from just from experience, but it clearly is one of the spirits of the Lord. And the last one is the fear of the Lord. I forget who it was, somebody in this group I was talking to, I made the statement to him. I said, well, yeah, I fear you. I would like to have your approval. I fear you, but I fear the Lord more. The only thing that gives us the ability to separate and present the truth sometimes is that we fear the Lord more than we do our own circumstances. That our presentation of God, our responsibility in the presentation of God, is motivated by our fear of the Lord, our awe of God. Not fear like the spirit of fear that comes from Satan, but just the overwhelming sense of who He is and that I can't do anything except for what He tells us to do. That's the fear of the Lord that we're talking about. The days are upon us now. I think we can clearly see there is no restraint in the world today. Lawlessness, nothing's holding it back. If your character, if your personal character as reflected by the Holy Spirit in you doesn't restrain you, there's nothing that will. Social norms don't hold us. The government structures don't hold us. The niceties of life, I don't know what you call it, our culture, there's nothing that is restraining anybody other than your personal character. And that personal character has been developed out of your relationship with Christ. That's the only thing that keeps any sanity in our world today. I was talking to Jenny's dad about our signs on her door about the guns, and I know that sign won't keep any crazy from coming in here with a gun. My insurance company won't insure me unless I have the sign. So I put the sign up and I pray my guys are lawless and they carry a gun around here to protect us if a crazy comes in. So, but if apart from our own moral character, our own nature of God within us, that's the only thing that's here to restrain us anymore. These spirits are what should be manifested in our character. We know that we were created in the image and likeness of God. Image being we are all spirit beings. The likeness being His character. Now the primary character of God is love, but through love these spirits will be demonstrated. And every one of these spirits should attend every one of us. We should lean on every one of these for our sphere of influence. I don't want to be a doomsday speaker, and in no way do I intend to be. But I think the evidence is clear that the maturation of the body of Christ is at hand. That there, the mountain of the Lord is beginning to be revealed in the earth today. It wouldn't take much to be different from the world. But as we saw in that description of those oddities, God intends for the mountain of the Lord to be very, very different. So many of us are being dealt with concerning accuracy, character, death of self, submission of our souls, you know, all kinds of ways that God is bringing us into the maturation, into a huios, so that we can exactly represent Him in our sphere. We're learning how to receive one another in each other's grace. We're learning how to function well in authority with one another, knowing when we're in authority, when someone else is in authority, receiving one another in that. Learning how to live our lives for others rather than self. Learning what it is to be less of me and more of Christ. Learning what it is to be dead. Not fun, but to be dead. So that how, not judging something from how it affects me, but judging something from how it affects others. These spirits, I'm saying that like not like a demonic spirit. These characteristics of the presence of the living God in our lives is what will enable us to walk this thing out fully. So I encourage you, this is all from Isaiah 11, 1 through 10. I would encourage you to meditate on that in these days that are ahead of us. When you look around you and you see the world getting crazier and crazier, and you see patients coming in with more and more desperate circumstances, draw upon these spirits to give them the counsel that they need. The presentation of this mountain is the greatest opportunity that man has ever been given. The privilege of getting to represent God in any sphere. Y'all have this one sphere of wellness, this particular sphere of wellness. But the privilege of getting to represent God anywhere is an awesome task. And so we should approach it with being very deliberate and sincere and intentional in what we're doing and recognizing the privilege that God has given us. But understand, you are going to live your lives. You will live your lives in stark contrast to the world. Y'all already live it in wellness to traditional medicine, but you're going to go farther and farther, and you're going to look like that lion and that lamb. You're going to look like the bear and the cow. You're going to, you know, this stark contrast with the world is going to become the norm for y'all. So be prepared. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Doug, I have one.
Yes, ma'am. You scare me every time you speak up from this podium.
It may be more just an observation than a question, and kind of curious to see if anybody else has gotten this kind of just conversation brought up to them. So many of my patients in the past week have come in, when I talk about stress or not being at peace. Well, leading up to this election was really stressful, but man, it sure did turn out great. Just they're so excited that they think that this, I mean, there's really going to be this big turnaround, and I don't really know how to respond because I'm thinking, I'm pretty sure we're in the end times, and I'm pretty sure things are going to get a lot crappier than they are right now, and I don't think Trump is really going to change anything. It's what I'm thinking, so I don't really even know how to respond. I just kind of say, yeah, and change the subject, but anyway, has anybody else had that?
Anybody else seeing that from their patients? I think we all thought that when we got through this election period, it would get better regardless of who. There was hope that whoever got in there would make things better, I think. But what the Lord won't let us do is put our trust in man or man's system. And so that's why. And I was really astonished last night. I turned over and was watching one of the news stations, and I thought, you people are worse than you were a week ago. You're saying worse things now. And so I realized there should have never been an anticipation that the anger and the division and all would go down. It's part of who we are. When you have, and I don't know what the accurate number is, somebody says 700,000 difference in the vote. When your world is that closely divided. I mean, you can't get any. You got 40 million people voting, and there's $700,000 difference. That's 700,000 votes different. That's nearly exact. But what God is going to reveal in us is Well, Scripture says this way, and men will say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Everybody thought, not everybody, half of the people thought Trump would make life better. And they're going to be sorely disabused of that sense at some point down the road. Now, there may be some natural things that get better and cause them to put their faith in their 401k or their bank account or whatever like that. But that too will be fall short of what they need to give them peace in this time. There's only one source of peace, and it comes back to these spirits of the Lord. So, but it's just, y'all, it's just a sign of the times. You've all read the book. You know how this story comes out. Like I told y'all last week, there has been a place prepared in the desert for you. The presence of the Lord is going to take care of you. You're not going to be harmed by this stuff. So your focus should be more on presenting this standard, this truth, whatever word you have for it, whether you see yourself as the mountain of the Lord, the army of God, you know, however reference you want to use, that's who you are, and that your focus should be on being the best presentation of that standard that you possibly can.